Take a moment to thank Rabbi Bamberger for coming. It's always one of the highlights of our summer when Rabbi Bamberger comes to Camp Keli and speaks to the Masmidim. Now, I was recently reading the biography of Rav Avigdor Miller, who was a fascinating character. Very highly recommend. No, if you only read those parsha sheets, you don't get the full impression of there's a really worthwhile read to get a real sense of the person. But Rav Miller, for a couple of decades, was the Mashkiach in Yeshivas Rabbeinu Chai in Berlin. He was hired by the Rashiva, by Rav Huttner. And one of the things that it says over there was that Rav Huttner had a hakpada that he wanted that the Mashkiach should be a significant Talmud Chacham. Meaning a lot of times you have a Mashkiach who is a Musar personality and is a big tzaddik. You find a lot of times in Gedolim books. Harav HaGoyin means he was Rosh Hashiva. Harav HaTzaddik means he was a Mashkiach. But there's nothing wrong with the Mashkiach being Harav HaGoyin also. Right? So Rav Huttner wanted Dafka that Rav Miller should, that the Mashkiach should be someone who's a Baki in Shas, who's really a significant Talmud Chacham. I had the tremendous Zuchus over 3 years that I was in Lander College to spend most mornings sitting right next to Rabbi Bamberger, and we had so many opportunities to shmooze, and Baruch Hashem, we've kept up a very good kesher ever since then. And one of the things that, meaning it goes without saying, part of the job description of being a Mashkiach is someone who understands people, who has meaningful messages, who's well-versed in many of the Musar Svarim. What does not go without saying, but is something that that is hard to miss when you hear Rabbi Bamberger, is the level of Talmud Chacham that he is as well, and how that educates his Musar, and how it impacts all of his Torah, and how he manages to impact Klal Yisrael. So it's a great zuchus for us to have him here this evening, and certainly looking forward to his divrei Torah.
Now I know why I came 2.5 hours from New York just to hear that. It was kedai. It's obviously very reciprocated, the ava, the chiba that I have towards Yedid Nafshi, Rabbi Leibowitz. I don't have to tell the Eilim here what Rabbi Leibowitz is. I think it's already a davar yadua if you're here, and even if you're not, Shmai Heilach Lefanov, that the level of godless in Taira, and your Shemayim, in Halacha, in Dikta Kamitzvahs, and all with that trademark Chayn and Chesed and Chiba Yisera that he has for his Talmidim and for every single Yid, regardless of his or her station in life. Rabbi Leibowitz is a wellspring of inspiration and knowledge, and it's a very, very big schus to have been asked by Rabbi Leibowitz to speak here this evening, and Mitzvah Hashem, it will be for a Tayelis. It's brought that at the end of the Vilna Gaon's life, it was Chol HaMoed 1797, and the Vilna Gaon, who of course is the Amud HaMesira, everything that we have as Bnei Ashkenaz, in terms of pretty much our entire Mesira streams through the Vilna Gaon. All of the yeshivas throughout the world all come from Volozhin, that was the prototypical yeshiva, which was under the guidance of the Vilna Gaon. He was the one that gave the Reb Chaim Volozhin, or his primary Talmud, the green light to start that yeshiva, and it was under his ruach that the yeshiva prospered. And everything that we have is really from the Vilna Gaon and his incredible life, the brilliance of the Vilna Gaon and the Kedusha of the Vilna Gaon and the amazing amounts of Torah that he was Mechadesh, and the way he was able to combine Torah Shebichsav with Torah Shebal Peh in an incredible, they consider the Vilna Gaon to be one of the Rishonim in a certain way. And the last day of his life was Chol HaMoed Sukkos, and his minig was like minig Yerushalayim. He would hold the lulav and esrog in his hands the entire Yom Tov of Sukkos. L'kachtem lachem priyei tzadu. You're supposed to, he took it literally. That was the minig of Anshe Yerushalayim. that he would actually physically hold the lulav and esrog the entire sukkah. And when he was about to be nifter, he put the lulav and esrog down. This is how it's brought in Svarim. And he took in his hands a talis, his tzitzis. And he held the tzitzis in his hands, and he started crying. And he said that in this world, in Olam Hazeh, a person is able, for a few dollars, it wasn't dollars, but it was whatever the currency was where he lived, I think it was a grushka, a few grushkas, that you were able to buy a pair of tzitzis. You go into a farm store and you could buy yourself a pair of tzitzis. How much does it cost already? $10, $20, $30, not a lot of money. In the next world, he says, you could give all the money in the world and you're not going to be able to buy yourself a pair of tzitzis. Not shayach. And for that, he started crying and crying and crying, and then he was nifter. This is how we have a Messiah. This is the last day of the Vilna Gaon's life. I once wanted to say, based on this story of the Vilna Gaon, that perhaps this is the reason why in davening, every morning we have the tzitzis in our hands by Kriya Shema, which of course makes sense because the last parsha of Kriya Shema by Yomer is the parsha that we speak about tzitzis. But we don't put the tzitzis away after Hashem Elokeichem Emes, which is when you would naturally think to put it away. We go all the way a little deeper into Emes V'Yatziv, and we kiss it by Ul'olme La'ad, Ul'olme Olamim. La'ad, we kiss it, and then we put it away, La'olme Olamim. And I think that maybe with the Svilna Gaon, we have a little bit of an understanding of why this minhag developed, because it, in a way, we are all trying to reflect on this yesod of the Vilna Gaon, that we have tzitzis. We have this opportunity to have tzitzis every single day, Baruch Hashem. But it's not a mitzvah that we're going to have the opportunity to do forever. La'ad ulo me'alamim. Lo me'alamim, we kiss it and we put it away. We put it down because it's to remind ourselves this is a mitzvah that's temporarily ours, but it's not forever. It's a mitzvah that we have to chaperein and appreciate now in this world, because la'il me'alamim, we remove ourselves from it. We kiss it, goodbye. And we're not going to be able to have this mitzvah forever. It's one of the mitzvahs that we have to really cherish, says the Vilna Gaon, in this world, because la'ad lo me'alamim, it's no longer here. The question that I had on this story, if you can ask a question on a story, is that the Vilna Gaon was holding a lulav and esrog in his hand. Now, I don't think that you have an opportunity in the next world to hold a lulav and esrog either. Why did the Vilna Gaon put down his lulav and esrog and take in his hands a pair of tzitzis and say that the tzitzis that he is holding now in his hands that you can buy in this world for just a few dollars, that you're not going to be able to have that in the next world? Why don't you just keep the lulav and esrog in his hand? That, you could say the same thing. You could buy a lulav and esrog for $30, $50, whatever you want to spend on a lulav and esrog, but you're not going to have that opportunity in Olam Haba. I think we can all agree on that. So why was the Vilna Gaon putting down the lulav and esrog and taking the tzitzis and crying over the tzitzis of all mitzvahs? L'chaira, it would have been equally impressive and inspirational and educational to say the same thing about the lulav and esrog, which he was holding anyway. One of the great messiahs that we have from the Vilna Gaon, we have so much from the Vilna Gaon in halacha, in drashas, in everything. Really, the Vilna Gaon is In every single mitzvah, we have so much from the Gaon. One of the great legacies of the Vilna Gaon is his chibas haaretz. The Vilna Gaon loved Eretz Yisrael, and the Vilna Gaon wanted to make aliyah so badly. And in fact, he writes in a letter, the famous Igaris Hagra, that he wrote to his wife, and he wrote to her to share this, the yisaidus with his mother, who is still alive, and his daughters, and he was giving a lot of mussar in the Sigaris Lagra. A very, very interesting letter, if you ever have a chance You know, there's svarim that are just written with a pirush on the Sigar HaSagral because there's so much to take from it. I recently bought a sefer. It was 1 year I gave a vad on the Sigar HaSagral in yeshiva, and I was in a svarim store in Zundel, Berman, and they just came out with a brand new sefer which I bought, and it had chidushim from a Michal Yudel Lefkowitz on the Sigar HaSagral and a few other great Rosh Yeshivas. It's an amazing letter. Every single line is soaking with Yiras Hamayim. And he starts off the letter, he says, I'm going now to Eretz Yisrael. He wrote this to his family on his way to Eretz Yisrael. He says, and some people go traveling long distances, leave their wife and kids for reasons like business. He says, me, I'm going, I have this chus to go to Eretz Yisrael, the Eretz Chemda, the cherished land, which is the land that's cherished by the Rabbeinu Shlalom, the land that's cherished by the entire world, cherishes Eretz Yisrael. He had a love for Eretz Yisrael, bar none. And for whatever reason, we don't know exactly, historians debate exactly the reason why he aborted this mission on his way to Eretz Yisrael. He was riding on a boat. Some people say because he was afraid he wouldn't be able to keep the mitzvah satzlius barat. Some people thought that maybe there was tayloim on the boat. There was some that he wasn't able to eat the food, or many different theories of why he would not go in the end. But he was definitely very, very keen on going to Eretz Yisrael. And in the end, he came back to Vilna, and he did not do this, fulfill his dream of making Aliyah. But he had many, many talmidim that did make Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael, and they did it in different waves. They did it not all at once, but they did it in different kufas, and they went to Eretz Yisrael. They were called the Prushim, and they established communities throughout Eretz Yisrael, and that's why the Minhag Agra is really the prevalent Minhag by Bnei Ashkenaz in Eretz Yisrael. We follow the Gain, because the Gain was the dominant halachic figure of the Talmidim that made Aliyah, that really settled in so many communities in Eretz Yisrael, and Adayim, the Minhag Agra, prevails in Eretz Yisrael, as we know. On one of these Aliyahs, on one of these waves of Aliyah by the Talmidim of the Gain, so it was a father and a son, his young son and his young daughter, they were in a boat, and the boat on the way to Eretz Yisrael capsized. And it was him and his two children in the water, bobbing in the water. I don't know which body of water it was, but it was still quite a distance to get to Eretz Yisrael, to the shoreline. And he was probably not an accomplished swimmer, and he was frail, he was older, and he had his son and his daughter on his back, and he was swimming as far as he could, and then at one point he says, I can't do this. It's not shayach. It's not possible for me to continue this. I have to paskin al pi din Torah, which of my children I should choose to let go of. Imagine that halachic decision that a human being has to come up with. And he paskin that he would save his son and he would have to let his daughter go. A tragic decision that he had to make, but this is what he felt, otherwise they would all die. And he continued to swim, and he told his daughter as he was swimming, I love you, but I'm going to have to let you go. I'm very sorry. I don't know what to say. I just can't anymore. And this young daughter looks her father in the eye and says, Tate, Ichabnar ein Tate, I only have one father. I have only one father. You can't let me go. You can't just let me go. You're the only father. Who should I go to? I have no other father. And he closes his eyes and he says, okay, let's try a little bit more. And he pushes. He's swimming with both of them, and another mile goes by and he can't. He's mamish drowning. And it's just too heavy for him. And again, he tells his daughter, I'm sorry. And again, she says the same exact thing. He says, Tate, echabnar ein tate, you can't let me go. And again, he pushes that, this like propels him further, these words ringing in his ear, he couldn't. And he goes further, and she again, this repeats itself over and over again until they finally, the three of them, manage to get to the shoreline of Eretz Yisrael. He collapses, he basically, he almost did not make it, but Baruch Hashem, they were all able to survive, the three of them. And he told her when he came to and they got back, you know, in better health, he says, those words that you kept on saying to me are magical words. That's a formula that you should always use the rest of your life. Whenever you need anything from the Rebbeinu Shalom, just say to him, Echab nar ein tata, I only have one father. I have Avinu Shebashamayim, I have no other father. This, you're it. You're my plan A, you're my plan Z. I have no other plan. I'm saimich on you entirely. And that was the aside that the Talmud of the Gra teaches us, that when you're drowning, when a person is drowning, Rachman al-Litzlan, you have to cry out to the Rabbeinu Shalom. There's only one Eitzah, and that's to cry out to the Rabbeinu Shalom. The Rabbeinu Shalom should help us. In this life that we're living in, we have a lot of stormy situations that we find ourselves drowning in. And I'm not talking right now about what's going on nationally in Eretz Yisrael. I'm just talking personally, in our personal lives, in our personal daily lives here in America right now. There are so many people, some of us we might know, some of us we heard about, some of them might be us, that we have moments that we feel that we're drowning. We're drowning in seas that Klal Yisrael have never really experienced. As a mashgiach in yeshiva, I'm privy to many circumstances of talmidim that are, they feel like they're drowning. I'm sure Rabbi Leibowitz, I know, you know, with all of the shilas, the hundreds of thousands of shilas that come to him, I'm sure he's experienced this as well many, many times. There are cases of people that are drowning with gilui arayos, with things that they see on the internet and they can't control themselves, and it's ruining their lives, it's ruining their marriages, it's ruining their entire ability to function. There are people that, you know, you think that this, we're not living anymore in the Dar of Askala, people aren't into, you know, philosophy so much, they're not, how many people are really, you know, getting, drowning in because of Haskala? People are drowning in Taiva, they're not drowning. There's plenty of people that are drowning in Haskala as well. I have many Talmidim that over the years, not all at once, but over the years have come to me. They have big Sveikas and Emunah, and it comes out the more I talk to them that they basically, you know, have been looking on certain sites, and they have questions on Chazalin, on different events in Jewish history, and because of that, it gnaws at them, and they feel like they don't have emunah pshuta anymore. They're drowning in a sea of minos, of apikursus, and it's frightening for them. They don't want to be there, but this is where they are. And there are so many of us that are drowning in averis that are more daily averis. And it's a very difficult thing to try to get yourself out of that when you're drowning. I've spoken to people that have that are drowning in gambling. Gambling is a huge thing. People, you know, it starts out, you know, you bet a little bit on a sports game here and there, and it's all entertainment, it's casual, and all of a sudden you're betting thousands of dollars, more than you're making, you know, in months, you're putting down in a game, and you just can't stop yourself. You feel like you just don't know what to do. And of course, there's all different types of places to go, and Alcoholics Anonymous, and Gambling Anonymous, and all this, and that's all, it's good. It's all good. But the main way from a Torah Hashkafa to get out of any of these issues that we're talking about, that we feel that we're drowning in a sea that's so stormy and we don't know how to get out of it, is to look to the Rabbeinu Shalom, to look to our Tata in Himmel, our Father in Heaven, like the Talmud of the Gra, his daughter, said, I am only you. And when we're able to tap into that kayach of Deveikus and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is the only way, that's the primary way that we're really going to be able to save ourselves and to get back onto dry land. it's only when we're able to throw ourselves into the arms of the Rebbeinu Shlomo and say, I'm powerless. I can't do anything. I don't know what to do anymore. Please save me. That's the only way that we'll be able to really get back into a normal way of life once again. I always felt, it was always a theory by me, that the tzitzis, if you look at them carefully, what they are is really, these are like mini ropes. And the pasuk says, "V'leisasur achrei levavchem achrei nechem." If a person finds themselves drowning in a sea of minus, in a sea of znus, in a sea of apikorsus, of pritzus, whatever it is, and we find that we can't get ourselves out, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a parasha of tzitzis. In this parasha, it says, "V'leisasur achrei levavchem achrei nechem," and it's as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "I'm throwing you a lifeline." The lifeline is tzitzis. And when you take hold of the rope that I'm giving you, and the rope symbolizes taira, it symbolizes the tayag mitzvahs, it symbolizes kedusha. When a person is able to grab onto that and to completely surrender to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the ultimate and only way of being able to save oneself when a person is drowning in achrei levavchem achrei nechem. And this Shabbos, we lay in Parsha Shlach. I was looking at a sefer that I had recently purchased, and then I saw, and he brings a medrash there, and I saw later, my son actually pointed out that Rabbeinu Bechaye says the same thing. He brings this medrash. Listen to this medrash. Mamish Maivart. Listen to this medrash. If you want to look it up, it's in Bamidbar Rabba Yud Zayin Vav, and Medrash Tanchuma Shlach. Tesvav, he says like this: Leman tizkru parshav tzitzis, leman tizkru vaasisim es kol mitzvaysai. Mashal echad sheyemushal sechamayim. It's a mashal of a person that was thrown; he was cast into a water, into the ocean. Hoishit leakarbanit es achevel. The captain throws him a rope. Omar loy, and he says to him, Tfeis hachevel azeh biyadcha, ve'al tanichehu. Hold on to this rope for dear life and do not let go of this rope. She'im tanicheyu, because if you do let go, eim l'chachayim, you have forfeited your life. This is the only thing that's separating between your living and not living is this rope. Af kan, amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Klal Yisrael, kol zman she'atem mudvokim b'mitzveis, Ne'emar aleichem ba'atem hadveikim ha'shem lekechem chayim kol chamayim. As long as you're mistabik in the mitzvah, as long as you hold on tightly to the mitzvahs, you're okay. You'll survive the ocean. You'll survive the drowning. But ba'atem hadveikim ba'shem lekechem, you who are clinging to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're holding on to the rope of tzitzis. Those strings, those ropes, if you look at them, I don't think that I'll ever look at tzitzis again with the same eyes. You look at tzitzis, what are these? These are strings coming out of a four-cornered beged? These are not strings. This is a rope. This is a lifeline that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends to you. And any time that you feel that you're drowning and you reach those ropes and you kiss them and you're mistabik in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu pulls you up. HaKadosh Baruch Hu pulls you in. And he's not going to let you go. If you don't let go, he's not going to let go. The mitzvahs are symbolized by these tzitzis. If we are mistabik HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we are as deep in any avera, any taiva, leisasur achrei levavchem achrei nechem, if it's minus, if it's nus, whatever it might be, the lowest levels, if you're mistabik HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you take hold of the chevel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is throwing you. And he says, I know how you're suffering. I know how you're drowning. I know how your whole world is caving in on you. But there's one eitzah. Just grab onto the tzitzis. Grab onto the mitzvahs. Come back to me. And you look to the Rebbeinu Shlom that Achab Nar Ein Tata, I only have one father in heaven. And you're holding your end. And he's holding the other end. V'atem hadveikim Hashem lekeichem chayim kol chamayim. That's the only way for us to be able to deal with these issues is through being mistabik with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It occurred to me that perhaps this is the famous Chazal in Menachos Mem Gimel. Chazal say that why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us a tzivoy of tcheles? We're supposed to put tcheles on our tzitzis. Why tcheles? The Gemara asks, Tanya Hayra Meir Aymer, Manishtana Tcheles Mikol Mine Tzavainim. Why Tcheles? Put green, put yellow, put pink. There's a lot of nice colors of the rainbow. Why are you putting Tcheles of all colors? And the Gemara says, or Meir says, Vipnei Sha Tcheles Daimel Yam, because Tcheles is like the sea. Vayam Daimel Rakia. And the yam, the sea, is similar to the rakia, to the heaven. V'rakia l'kisei ha'kavod. And the rakia is daima l'kisei ha'kavod. What's up, shot in this Gemara? What's going on here? It's similar to the sea. So, okay, and do yellow. Yellow is like the sun. Why are we all of a sudden using a sea? What's the sea to us? But I think according to this Chazal, the way we're understanding it is beautiful. Because what is the tzitzis? Tzitzis is, I'm drowning. I'm in a sea. I'm so deep in the sea of Laisasurach Elevavchem Achreinechem, I don't know what to do. I'm lost at sea. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, look at your tzitzis. Your tzitzis are tcheles. And the tcheles is like the sea that you're in. And it doesn't end there. The sea, the yam is daima el rakia. And the rakia is daima el kisei ha'kavod. Meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sitting on his Kisei HaKavod and he is directly relating to you. He's stretching out his rope, his lifeline, his life preserver to you. Just take it. I know that you're drowning. I know that life is difficult. I know that you feel like it's impossible to live sometimes with all of the distractions and all of the temptations that surround us, and it's never surrounded us more than it does in this generation, in our times, with all of the technology that is inundating us and bombarding us with images and with text and with all types of taivas that we can't get out of. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what am I supposed to do? Look at the tzitzis. The tcheles is daim l'yam. The yam is daim l'rakia. The rakia is daim l'kisa ha'kavod. Remember, when you see the tzitzis, when you see these ropes, and you're in the sea, and you look up to the rakia, to the kisei ha'kavod, HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chveidei ba'atzmai cares about us. He loves us. He's worried about us. And he's pulling us. Just grab onto it, and I will be here for you, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Va'atem hadveikim v'ashem alekeichem. You cleave to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chaim kol, you'll survive this. You will get out of it, as difficult as it seems, as much as it seems that I can't, you can. But you have to have emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have to grab on to these chavolim, these ropes, which are the tzitzis, that are allowing us to connect to the Kisei HaKavod, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu lovingly is telling us, be mistabik in me, be mistabik in the mitzvahs, and with them you'll be able to survive this ordeal, whatever the ordeal is in your life. Every single person in this room has their own unique ordeals that they're dealing with. Some of it is what we described. Some of it might be completely something else. Some people are dealing with terrible issues in family life. Some people are dealing with terrible financial issues. Some medical issues and terrible things. Everybody has their own thing that sometimes you feel, I'm drowning, I don't know what to do. Well, man Hashem, I don't know what to do. Sometimes the sea is very calm and everything is great, but sometimes it's really stormy and it's really shaky and we don't know where to turn. The tzitzis reminds us that we have a lifeline, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in Shamayim and he's stretching down these chavalim, these ropes, and asking us nicely, lovingly, just hold on to it. I beg you, do not give up hope. Do not stop doing Torah and mitzvahs. Do not give it up, because if you give it up, then all bets are off. But if you're able to be mistabik in the mitzvahs and the Torah, through this amazing mitzvah of tzitzis, the atem advekim, chaim kol chamayim. There's a Gemara in Menachos on Daf Mem Dalad. Gemara says that there was a person who was Zoyer in the mitzvah of tzitzis. He was very careful always to do the mitzvah of tzitzis properly. That was his one mitzvah that he was very makbid on. Like the Rambam says in Pirusha Mishnayos to Avos, that if you're able to master one mitzvah, if you're able to master one mitzvah, that's going to be your ticket to Olam Haba. Everybody should have a mitzvah that they feel very close to. Some people might love Talmud Torah. Some people might love Chesed. Some people might love mezuzah, tzitzis, whatever. Everyone has their own thing, tefillin. And if you can master one mitzvah, that's the way that you're going to get into Olam Haba. So the Gemara says that there was a person that had a tremendous love for the mitzvah of tzitzis. He mastered it. Now, unfortunately, he was not, he had taivas, and the shama sheish zayna bekrach ayam shenaitalas dalad meir zuhuvim bischara. There was a very expensive zayna somewhere in the islands of the sea, and she gets an exorbitant amount for her services, 400 zuhuvim. Kabal azman, so he booked her ahead of time. Bo dalet tzitziyaisa v'tafchul alpanim. The Gemara says, while they were about to engage in the act, the tzitzis came and whacked him in the head. And he immediately got on the floor, and he started doing tshuva, and she also came down on the floor to him and says, what's going on? What's happening? It's never happened before. Why are you doing this? And he explained to her that he can't. And eventually the Gemara says that she became from. She became, you know, she was Chayzaris Petshuva as well. But we see from this Gemara something amazing, that tzitzis are literally HaKadosh Baruch Hu's way of saving us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu arranged that the dalet tzitzis should be tafkul alpanav. It's almost like the tzitzis are animated to come and save the person from his sorrow because he was medactic in the mitzvah of tzitzis. If he wasn't medactic in the mitzvah of tzitzis, it might not have, but because he understood, he cherished the mitzvah of tzitzis. He was an avarian. He had a taiva. But that doesn't change the reality. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves each and every one of us in spite of all the weaknesses and the deficiencies that we may have. And the mitzvah of tzitzis is a constant reminder that no matter what happens in your life, I am here for you, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Here is the tzitzis. Here is the connection. The connection that I am going to save you with is the tzitzis. The Torah, the mitzvahs that you're going to keep, that's symbolized by the tzitzis, it shows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu never gives up on us. Never. No matter where we are, and a lot of times we do things and we say to ourselves, all right, that was it. I crossed the line, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu can never forgive me for what I just did. And we feel terrible, and we feel guilty, and we feel like we're irrelevant to the Rabbeinu Shalom in his scheme of things. We can't be a Ben Taira anymore. The famous letter of Rav Huttner, that a certain Talmud had this very hargish. He wrote to Rav Huttner, and he said that, alas, you know, I thought I was going to be a gadol b'Yisrael, but I did something. He doesn't say what he did, but whatever it was, it doesn't really matter. But he says that I see that I'm weak, and that I was nichshol in avera, and I'm never going to be a gadol. And Rav Huttner famously says that you don't understand, and people are under this misconception that a gadol is somebody that sits on main menuchais, he sits on calm waters, and everything is always perfect, and they don't have any struggles, they have no nisyanis, and that's the only way to coast into godless. He says, fakert, he says, the greatest moments of a person's godless is when he has those temptations, and he struggles with them, and sheva yipol tzaddik v'kam, a tzaddik falls down seven times, and it's not just that he gets up because he's resilient, but his kima, his ability to become a gadol, the greatness that a person has is exactly because he fell and he understands the taste of failure. That propels him to greatness. He says about the Chavetz Chaim, as everybody knows, the Chavetz Chaim is holy and you know, Kaddish Merechem. He says, but you don't understand. He says, we don't know how many struggles the Chavetz Chaim had in terms of He's speaking about Lashon Hara. Maybe he had a very big nisayon to speak Lashon Hara. He worked on himself. He broke himself. He challenged himself until he was able to climb from one level to another level. And then he became the Chavetz Chaim. He didn't become the Chavetz Chaim because he was perfect from birth. Then it wouldn't be, he's a Malach. So how can anyone learn from that? What's the gadlus of a Malach? A gadol is somebody like you and me. Regular people with nisayonis, with challenges, with taivas, with hirhurim, warts and all, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that we're trying and we're pulling ourselves up and trying to get closer to Him through the Torah, through the mitzvahs, in spite of it all. That's when godless can be attained. That's the moment that we're able to realize the greatness that lies within. It's not from the successes of our life. The things that come easy to us is not why we're here. It's precisely when we have moments that we feel we're drowning and I can't deal with this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, help me. I only have you. And then all of a sudden we see the tzitzis and we see the tchelis, daim liyam, and we're feeling that we're, hey, I'm in a yam. And where is it taking me? It's taking me to the rakia. It's taking me to the kisei HaKavod. I feel the tremendous connection, that strength that we get from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from the mitzvahs, because, and we know at that moment that we're safe, we're secure, we're not going to drown, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here with us. I was thinking that perhaps that's why the Vilna Gaon put down his lulav and esrog and cried with his tzitzis at the end of his life. Because every mitzvah really is nitzchi. Every mitzvah has levels and concepts that we don't understand. And there's definitely in Shamayim many understandings of every mitzvah in the Torah. And it goes even beyond this world. But there's one mitzvah, if what we're saying is true, there's one mitzvah that's really primarily in this world, and that's the mitzvah of tzitzit. Because once we go up to Shemayim, we're already at the Kisei HaKavod. We don't need that rope. It's over. It's in this world that we are so vulnerable, that we are rocking at the sea, and we're drowning, and we feel so fragile. This is when the mitzvah of tzitzit is so valuable to us. It's the mitzvah that really transcends everything. That's why the Eben Ezra says that in Shlach, that when do we wear tzitzis? He says that we wear it by davening. He says, I think that it would probably be better to focus more after davening. You should wear the tzitzis. When you're at work, you should wear the tzitzis. It's more important when you're at davening. You're Baruch Hashem, everything is good. It's when you go out of the base medrash, you go out of the shul, and now you're at work and you're at home and you're intermingling with people. That's when you need the mitzvah of tzitzis. Tzitzis is a very worldly mitzvah. It's a mitzvah that's for this world. It's not a mitzvah that's for the next world. It's a mitzvah that's really ours to give us constant chizuk every single moment of the day. That's why the Mishnah Berurah says that you're supposed to wear your tzitzis out, even when you go outside. Because it's a mitzvah that should remind us, not just of the mitzvahs, but that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us. And that no matter what we're doing with our life, no matter what we're finding ourselves struggling with, I'm here for you. Here's the tzitzis, here's the rope. I'm throwing you the rope every single minute. Just grab onto it. Don't let go. If you let go, then everything could be lost. But stay committed, stay in the fold, stay with your emunah, and with your bitachin, with your avas Hashem, with your Shamayim. As hard as it is during those moments of life that are so challenging, and we all have those moments that we just like, you know, we feel we're in a spin cycle and we have no ability to understand, how am I going to get till the next minute? I don't know what to do. You take your tzitzis in hand and you feel the tug. Because if you feel carefully that those ropes that are hanging from the sides of our garments, we understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is reminding us, just grab hold of this. I'm here for you. I love you. You got this. Everything is going to be good. But just don't give up. Don't let go. hold on to the tzitzis, hold on to the ropes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is throwing us, and look up to the Kisei HaKavod and say, Echab Narein Tata, I only have you. You're the only thing I have, you're the only thing I need, you're the only thing that could get me through this moment in life. It's so hard, but I'm going to get through it because I feel that you're with me. Va'irara ki ata imadi. When I feel that you're with me, that you're on my side, and that you have me holding me strongly, that's the ability that a Yid has to persevere throughout the hardest of circumstances. Now we're living in times that are impossible on many levels, on so many levels, without getting into specifics. It feels sometimes that we can't get from day to day. The only way we could do it is with Emunah. And the Emunah comes to life through the tzitzis. And the Vilna Gaon understood that this world mitzvah, it's a mitzvah that you can give $1 billion in the next world, they're not going to give you a pair of tzitzis because you don't need it then. You're already at the Kisei HaKavod. In this world is when we need it. This is where we need this constant lifesaver that HaKadosh Baruch Hu throws to us whenever we're down and even when we're up, reminding us of his love and his affection, his care. And the Mitzvah Hashem, every time we take our tzitzis in hand from now on, hopefully I'm speaking to myself, I will remember this, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about me, and he loves me so much that as low as I'm sinking, I can always grab onto the tzitzis and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will pull me up, resuscitate me, revive me, and give me back my life as I need it to be. Mitzvah Hashem, we should have a wonderful summer. You should have a healthy summer, a happy summer. Continue steiging. You're keeping the world going. And Mitzvah Hashem, we should only go mechayel el chayel.